Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." One of the prevailing themes of worship is heaven. And we only know a small bit about heaven. We don't know much, but what we do know, oh, it sounds so wonderful, and it sounds so delightful, just the things that are there, and of course the things that won't be there. There's a lot of things here on earth. I'm glad that when I leave it, we'll stay here. Man, I tell you what, I know this has been a rough year for some of you. I know it's been a rough couple years for some of you. A lot of that roughness, those things that you faced, those things that you struggled with, whether you told anybody about them or not, doesn't matter. They're going to stay right here. There'll be no more lying. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more goodbye. I hate goodbyes. Absolutely hate goodbyes. Whether it's a friend who will be gone for so long, or whether it is one who we will not see again until we cross over Jordan. Either way, goodbyes are just awful. But we enter into a place, we go to a place for those who have repented of their sins and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We go to a place where the things that make the earth terrible will not be. We are told of an earth where when it was first created, there was no sin. There were no problems. There was no devastating storms. There was no illness. Just man and wife walking through the garden with God, naming the animals and picking the fruit off next to it. They never had any big storms. They never had any big worries. They never had any big bad guys. All it was enjoying the day and walking with God before it came night. What a wonderful existence it was. And we only had but one thing. Don't touch the fruit. Don't eat the fruit is what God said. Don't eat the fruit. If you eat it, you'll die. And we listened to that slick devil. We listened to him when he said, "Oh no, you won't die. You'll get special knowledge and you'll be like God. And God's just afraid that you'll do that because you know God, he's just a big cosmic killjoy. No, go ahead and eat it." And you know what we did? We said, "Sure." And death and illness and pain and suffering and grief entered into this world. And we have been struggling with it since day one. Starting back over in my reading, I paid close attention to the progression of sin. What was the first sin that Adam and Eve committed? They thought they could hide from God. What was the second one? They thought they could lie to God. What was the third one? They thought they could pass the buck over to somebody else, blame somebody else for their sin. As we go down, finally we get to anger, wrath. And that anger and that wrath boils over to what? Murder. And before you know it, the man and the woman that were told that death would enter into the world are standing over the grave of their son, knowing they had lost him, knowing that that was the cost of their dinner that day. And ever since then, the earth has been cursed. Mankind has been cursed by this behavior we choose to do. But there's coming a day when all of it will be wiped off. All of it will be gone. We see here verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You sit there, you look at some of the stuff that people are saying. Every square inch of the earth is covered in microplastics. We've got pollution everywhere. We've got people doing terrible things all over the place. It'll all be gone. It'll all be gone. They said, I don't know how true this is. They said that somebody gave birth to a baby that had already had microplastics inside of its body, already showing signs of it. This is going to go. This place is going to go. He's going to take it all down. Some of you have had a flu that turned into a cold. Some of the kids got pneumonia. Some pneumonias turned into other things. And then just as you got better, some of y'all got sick again. That's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. Some of you deal with broken and wounded bodies, things that will never heal. And you go to the doctor and you say, "Doctor, what's going on?" And you hear the same thing every time. Well, you are of a certain age. Isn't that despicable? If a million-dollar football player had the same issues, they would know the name of it or they'd name it after the guy. But you hit a certain age and it's diagnosed and adios. Well, what is it? You're old. Goodbye. That's one of the most insulting things we can do. If anybody's sitting there questioning whether or not we'll ever have issues with euthanasia in this country, you only got to look at how the medical companies treat us today. You're of a certain age. You're of a certain age. They told that after my dad's stroke, he had some issues with confusion and forgetfulness. Well, how old is he? With the stroke sitting right there, you go, "How old is he?" Because it's a lot easier to just do that. Those very real pains that you live with, those very real illnesses that you deal with, you're going to leave them here. We've preached funerals for people who have died, succumbed to cancer. And you know what? It's the cancer we put in the box. It's the cancer we put in the ground. It's the cancer we put a stone over top of. The person enjoys heaven. The person's in heaven. But the cancer stays here. The illness, the torn ligaments, the whatever stays here. And then what happens? The Lord takes care of it. Our bodies will be caught up, made new. Everything else here on earth will be blown to pieces. And what will we have? A new one. Well, why would God allow all these terrible things? We built this place the way we wanted it. God's in his architecture built a perfect world. We ruined it. He's not allowing it. He's preparing a better. And his children get to be there. Amen. It'll all be made new. And we read in this hymn. Somebody submitted this. Now listen, when y'all turned in your hymns, I got an inordinate amount about heaven, which I think is wonderful. But some of them we didn't have in the hymn book, and I can't sing all of them this morning. So if yours got left out, please forgive me. It's all Brother Charlie's fault. But somebody turned this one in. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. When I come to the river at the ending of the day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. In the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Our passing from this life to the next is planned by God. It is a reward. It is supposed to be a celebration as we move from this corrupted body to heaven. And we stand in his presence. And many people who've made that journey have stood up for the first time in years, and many stretched body parts that have ached from their years of labor, and many drew in deep breaths, no longer needing the breathing machine that they had used to stay alive. And who will be there? We see. God will. Christ will. Now this is at the end of Revelation. If you die today, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. This at the end, this new heaven and this new earth, that's our eternity. You want to talk about retirement? This is the retirement home. This is where we finally go. This is it. When everything, he says, it is done. When he says, it is done. The cycle from creation, I am the Alpha, the beginning, the journey from creation to rebirth is done. I have built a world, it has fallen apart, I have wrought great revelation or tribulation in this world, I have brought my children home, now there is a new heaven and a new earth, and no one's messing it up. Because the devil's in his place. And at this time, the Antichrist will be in his place. And the one who serves as high priest to the Antichrist will be in his place. And they will be in their place and they will not get out of their place. And we will be unbothered. And we will have new bodies that no longer crave the things we crave. There'll be no overeating. There'll be no stressing. There'll be no worry. There'll be no anxiety. We will be happy in this new place. But This one will be done away with. And who will we be with? Our Lord. I am happy that one day the things we struggle with here on earth will be gone. And I wonder, will we always remember, or after a period of time, will we happily forget the worst of things? I'm prone to think that we're going to forget the worst of things. Because didn't that always happen? We have this effect in our memories where we always refer to the good old days, right? Oh, in the good old days this happened, and in the good old days that happened. But if you were to have to go back and relive those, you would sit there and say, oh yeah, there was a tremendous amount of bad stuff that happened too. You just forgot about it. And often that's what we're doing now. You're probably living good old days right now, and you don't even know. Because you haven't forgotten about the bad yet. I think we're going to slowly forget about this old dust ball. And I think we're going to do so gladly. I think we'll be in the presence of the Lord. We'll have our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family all around us. I think we're going to have a good old time up there. And I think that we will readily forget about our politics. What was a president again? I'd like to think, well, do you remember the elections? You know what? I don't. I really don't. Do you remember what a root canal was? No, don't remember that. Don't remember that. And of course, I can't be sure. I think we'll all have perfect minds. I don't know. But there's a whole lot of stuff down here I'm looking forward to forgetting if I can. When we cross Jordan, we will be in that first place, that place of enjoyment, of that place of wonder, that place of splendor. And then one day this will all be gone. And a new one will be given to us, full of promise, full of glory, full of peace. And what else do we know? We know that our Lord will be there. We know that He will be our guide. We know that He'll be what takes up most of our time. Listen, I've got an untold number of years. I want to spend as much of it as possible right there by the Lord. What about all the other people? Don't you want to be with them? We'll probably be there too. Just sitting there waiting. Reacting. Seeing what he has to say and the movements of heaven and all the splendor there. I think we're going to have a good old time. I want to spend so much time in the presence of my God. I want to see Jesus. I love that song. You know, if you get to heaven, don't look for me over here. Don't look for me over there. You want to find me? I'll be at Jesus' feet. And I dare say that'll probably be the first thing each and every one of us will want to do. Be right there. Just to see him, to thank him. Oh, I wouldn't even know how to try to diagram that conversation. You ever do that? You ever plan conversations in your head? I want you to try to plan that conversation for a second. The first conversation you get to have with Christ, what are you going to say? I think about that sometimes. I throw away a lot of drafts. No, that's dumb. No. I can't say that. That's not good enough. And I hope that with our new bodies, we get a better understanding of language. I hope that the language we speak will be sufficient to speak of God's glory. Why don't you go ahead and I want you to grab your Bibles. I want you to go to your Bibles, your hymn books. Go to hymn number 91. Hymn number 91. We're going to stand together. We're going to do both verses of What a Day That Will Be. Hymn number 91. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. You may be seated. What we see is that we're going to leave behind and watch burn and turn to ash a world filled with murder, a world filled with all manner of terrible behavior towards each other, a world of abuse, a world of lying and cheating, a world of just detestable blasphemy, a world that has distracted itself with the most baser of the elements, the most disgusting of things. We will watch it burn while we stand in the presence of God. No more will there be illnesses, no more poison, no more venom, no more cloudy smog, no more disgusting things. This world will be put an end to. Now here's the thing. I'm kind of partial to this world. It's the only one I've ever lived on. I love to watch the sunrises, the sunsets. I love to look out over my backyard and watch the leaves fall. Even though I know it's going to create work for me, I love watching it. I love walking in the snow. I love sitting there with a cup of coffee, watching that little family of five deer go around my neighbor's backyard. He's got about 11 acres back there. I like watching him come up to the side of our fence and graze there, cup of coffee in my hand. I love this planet, but there's a lot of bad stuff on it. And we're going to see it go, and where we go next will be a world of ultimate beauty. Let's looking at this, what a day that will be when what? My Jesus, I shall see. When I struggled here on earth, before I knew who God was, before I was even born, who loved me? Jesus did. And on that day, the Lord saved me. What was the most precious name on earth? Jesus's was. When I've struggled and had hard times, who was it that provided comfort for me? Who was it that provided encouragement for me? When I sinned, who is it that sat and interceded for me? Who is still interceding for me? And who is it that one day I will be able to stand before? It's Jesus. Looking back at our text, again, this will be after it's all over. If we die before this happens, hey, most likely that'll happen, because either you'll die or the rapture will take place. But when we move in, verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Not just the Son, but the Father, the Holy Spirit. We will be with God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. I've hated every tear I've cried because of death. Mourning is a terrible thing to have to go through. Grief can change a soul and a heart. I have wiped away many tears from my eyes, no more or less than probably you have. But there will come a time when the Father wipes the tears from your eyes and they'll never come back. Why? Because there'll be no more death. Neither sorrow. Sometimes you're sad. Things happen, you look at the world and you're hit with this sadness, you're hit with this sorrow, but up in heaven there won't be any more sorrow, not because you'll be numb to it, but because it's not there. There's nothing there to bring you sorrow. Man, you can find sad things anywhere, anytime. But not in heaven. No. No more sorrow. No sorrow. Nor crying. Oh, there's a lot of reasons to cry in this world. Happy tears, sad tears, tears of grief, tears of anger. Whatever tears you would dare to cry over, they won't be in heaven. Whatever would create the tears, it won't be there. It'll be rejoicing. How about this one? Neither shall there be any more pain. Some of you, that hits a whole lot closer than others. No more pain. Oh, to think. We wear special shoes because we're in pain. Some of you have special socks because you're in pain. Special beds. You go to doctors. You get therapies. Some of you get shots. All these things that you go through to get rid of pain. I pray this strikes good for you. That this is just a season. It's just a small blip in the history of your existence. And one day in heaven, you'll die. You'll experience it. But to be able to walk on a new walk under a new heaven and walk on a new earth and to be in the new Jerusalem and know there'll be no more pain. I've known people, they get those shots in their shoulders, their elbows, their knees, and they sit there and they go, all right, typically this lasts about a month for me. Typically this lasts about 2 weeks for me. And you're sitting there and you know that as long as you have your feet on this ground, pain will come again. My dad sits right now. He's in surgery. He had that surgery. He went well. Please forgive me for not updating the church. I've just been this weekend. But no, he's doing well. He had that pain button as of yesterday. They were talking about taking it away from him last night. But every now and then that pain would come back from the surgery, and he'd hit that button, give him a new dose of medication. And he said that he's telling, well, I could roughly go about this long before it starts to hurt again. As long as you're on this ball, the pain will come again. One way or the other. I had a migraine last week. I'll have another one here soon, just the way I've always been. But there's going to come a time when I can walk on earth and none of those things will affect me. And it won't just be because I'm in heaven, it'll be because of what God has done. And I get to enjoy that in His presence. And He's just going to pull those tears from off of our cheeks. Because I don't think we're going to watch this place burn and we're going to be upset at the loss of it. I think we're going to remember the trauma and the pain experienced here on this earth. And we're going to weep over that pain. And what's He going to do? He's going to wipe it away. And there'll be no more of that. We'll never have to worry. We'll never have to fight. We'll never have to experience loss. You'll never have to say, as my parents always say, be careful. Be careful. Right? Never once have my parents said, drive fast and take chances. It's always be careful. Be careful. We won't have to worry about that because nothing befalls us there. But I think the biggest reward of it all will be verse 5. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Right now, I pray, but I do not hear His voice. The closest thing I get to hearing His voice is reading this book. We have a long distance relationship with our Heavenly Father. We are homesick for a world we have never seen. That's what we're dealing with now. But one day a new thing will happen. And we'll be in His presence. And we can walk to where He is. And we can stand in His presence. And we can behold things now that would destroy our mind to see. You know what? I think there's a reason why we're only told so much about heaven. I think it wouldn't be good for us. It wouldn't be good. That'd be like me going to one of my children saying, hey, listen, I know what you got for Christmas. It's about yay big and yay bad. Guess what it is? It ain't it. Now listen, it's really nice. This is roughly how much we spent on it. Hey, you know that other thing you really, really like? Yeah. It's kind of like that. Oh. And not expecting them to want to go looking for it. Wouldn't that just ruin their day? Hey, Xander, I know a really big thing that's coming your way. It's really exciting. Going to happen next year. I'm going to tell you what it is. Yeah, he just rolled his eyes at me. Well, I know why, because that's a mean thing to do to a human being. It is. I think that's why God doesn't tell us so much. I think we'd lose all joy down here on earth. But the biggest thing, the bestest thing, will be presence from the Lord. Presence with the Lord as He creates a new thing and gives it to us. A world that works in a way we're not used to here. We'll see later how there's no night. Not just because it's kind of like Alaska. We won't need it. We won't need to sleep. We won't need rest. Oh my, even if your body works like it should, to want to exist without tiredness. Isn't that a blessing? To just not be miserable. Some of us, you can't sleep because your body don't want to sleep. And then you wake up the next morning and you're tired. Could you imagine no more being miserable? No more feeling those sleepy time grumpies, as we call it. We got that. My kids, I don't know about your kids, my kids had two phases, have two phases when it comes down to staying up too late. There's the bedtime sillies and then the sleepy time grumpies. And you got to make sure you get them in bed before the grumpies come, because otherwise they weren't going to sleep. Now, three of them grew past that. You guys do fine and you guys do wonderful. One of them, I won't tell you who. Once we stray into the grumpy world, it is a feet and a half. I want to go to bed. All right, well, let's go to bed. I don't want to go to bed. I hear you. I understand. I don't, but I just tell her that. Listen, we'll be without those things. We will be without those things. So you know what? We ought to have hope today. And do as what we've read a couple times here in Scripture. These things we experience, they're only for now. They're temporary. They are here for but a season. And as we see repeated even more often, this too shall pass. These things one day will be just a shadow in our memory. But as we stand before God and in His presence and in a new world, we will be sound. We will be complete. Jesus will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there. And the Holy Creator of all things, our Heavenly Father, will be there. And we will be comforted. And we will be comforted. Somebody submitted this song. We shall see Him. When the people of all nations have been told of Jesus' birth, and the story of His dying love is known, when the tidings of salvation have been preached o'er all the earth, He will come and claim the blood-washed for His, turn the page, for His own. Then we'll see Him. Him then we'll see Him. Then we'll see Him. Then we'll see Him robed in beauty. If we've lived in Christ, in Christian duty, then we'll see Him. Then we'll see Him. We will see Him in His beauty at the dawn. When we think about the rapture, when we think about death, and we pass into His presence, it's going to be wonderful. But when we know and we have settled into this new, and we can experience the world as it should have been, oh, how happy we will be. Oh, what joy when we see Him. Please take your hymn books again. Verse 75, we'll stand together. We'll do all three verses of Sweet By and By. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love. The blessing that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. You may be seated. What we hear depicted in this song is fellowship. Beautiful fellowship and enjoyment. Can I ask you something? It's the holiday season. I trust everybody here, you celebrate. At least it looked like y'all were celebrating last night. Are you enjoying it? You ain't got to answer me. I just want you to think. You enjoying it? We spend thousands of dollars on stuff, on things, on houses. You're probably going to pay for the house, or you had paid over for your house over a span of 15, 30 years. You enjoy it? Many of you either are working or you had a career. Did you enjoy it? Some of you are working hard in school, trying to advance your life, trying to set up a base. Are you enjoying it? We don't always enjoy what we have down here. And why? I'll tell you. I'm not trying to shame anybody. I'll tell you. Sin, suffering, and irritation. Sin, suffering, and we'll just call it stress. Sin, suffering, and stress. That's why we have a hard time enjoying the things we have. We stress about it too much. We're distracted by sin, or we're in pain somehow in the midst. And we forget the sheer joy of the things that we have. And you know what? I'm not trying to make you sound ungrateful. Hey, we all get there. And it's important for us to do what? For us to lift up the things that we have, count our blessings as we have talked about. It is the purpose of this series for us to look at the things that God has given us and be grateful and rejoice in them. And that will alleviate a lot of the symptoms that come from sin, suffering, and stress. But in this new place, in heaven, we won't have distractions. It'll just be there. Well, I bought a house. But then the roof, the basement, it's filled with termites. It's got this problem. It's got that problem. And then just as you fix one problem, what happens? You know what happens. Another thing happens. You just get done wiping the windows, and next week is time to wipe them again. You mow the lawn this Friday. Come next Thursday, it's looking long again. And what do? Instead of enjoying that stuff, and instead of, hey, isn't it a wonderful thing to have a lawn to mow and a roof to replace and a backyard to putter around in and some chores to do to upkeep this place so it looks as nice as I like to enjoy it? What do instead? Oh, I've got this to do and that to do, and oh, I'm so belabored and beleaguered, and oh, what a terrible thing, and we get caught up in it. You struggle with it, I struggle with it. So then I woke up this morning, I think I was about as tired as I've ever been. I just got up out of bed this morning and I go, man, maybe I'll stay home from church today. And then I remembered I was the pastor. I got to go. I got to go. Oh, that it would not just be me that needed to be. No, I got to go. I wasn't sick. I'm not sick. I'm not. I'm a little wore out. You've been there. It's that time of year. 'Tis the season to be wore out with a great big smile on your face. I went to that concert yesterday. Earl had a concert. But the guy who was leading, I just kind of want that guy to come to our church and stand on the podium every now and then. I wish I would have taken a picture of this guy's face. He'd conduct, and then he'd come over here. I just kind of want him around all the time. When I watch the news, I want to see him sit there just... And now the weather. You know, I enjoy that. Big old smile on our face. Merry Christmas. Oh, Merry Christmas to you too. You've got 1,000 things on your to-do list. You don't have enough time, energy, money, or strength to do any of it. You've got 75 batches of cookies to make that no one's going to eat. I'm with you. I'm with you. Are we really enjoying what we have here? Or are we just doing things? I'm not looking to hasten my escape from this planet because there are wonderful things here. There are. But there's on one hand, as Paul says, a desire to stay. And on the other hand, a desire to be with the Lord. When we are with him, there will be no more weariness, no more trouble, no more sorrow. Chapter 22, verse 1 of the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, that was the very same tree that when we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the tree God took away from us. No, you can't have that. And we're going to be able to see it, and look at it. We get to be in this place. Many people, well, is this allegorical? I think this is a site we're actually going to be able to go see. Is there also allegory to it? I don't know. God's complicated that way. The book of Revelation? Whoo! But I think we're going to at least be able to see this stuff. Also, we sang that song about streets of gold. Do you know how many streets of gold we're told about in the book of Revelation? One. It's in the New Jerusalem. So we sing streets of gold. All we know about, is there one? Are we going to stop singing? I don't know. There could be as many as God wants. There could be 1,700 golden streets up there. We only know about the one. But I just thought that was interesting. That's for your Bible trivia later. All right, hang on to that. Only one. These are places we're going to see. These are places we're going to see. Imagine anything you would have to see today. Right? I think of a place you'd always want to go to. I would love to go over and tour through the biblical area, go tour through Jerusalem, Bethlehem. I'd love to tour through that area. But I've got some concerns right now. Not a good time for traveling. Absolutely not. And so I can't go see those places because I am very concerned about the upheaval going on over there right now. And let's say we're going someplace safe. Well, I'd always like to go to this fantastic and wonderful island. So in your mind, how do I get to this fantastic and wonderful island? I've got to buy a plane ticket. I've got to get hotel rooms. All right, so now I've got to book it. Okay, blackout dates and this and that. And you're doing all the math and you're doing all the research. And it's taking you hours to plan a trip to this beautiful and wonderful island. And then you got to get on the boat. And surprise, surprise, the same children that didn't like being in the plane absolutely are getting sick on the boat. And then you get to the boat, and what do you need? You get to the island, you need sunscreen, and you need bug repellent, and you need all this stuff just to enjoy the island. It takes a lot to get to enjoyable things. And oh man, let's not tabulate the cost of it. We're going to see wonderful things just by everywhere we look. You go down to Tennessee. I think Tennessee's beautiful. I like looking around the mountains, the trees. I think it's a beautiful place. I like going to big mountainous places. I like going down into valleys. I like the hollers where my dad grew up. I like being down in those places and just walking around. I think Michigan is still one of the most beautiful states there's ever been. I love looking at beautiful things. But there have been some places I've visited going, how could you ever be miserable if every window shows this? How could you? You go over and you got a lighthouse on one side. You got the lake out there. How could you ever be miserable looking at this stuff? We can anyway. Why? Sin, suffering, stress. We already covered it. Moving on. When we get to heaven, every view is going to be picture perfect. Everything we look at. When we get to this new heaven and this new earth, it's going to be just as so. Beautiful. Beautiful everywhere. It's going to be a land of intense beauty. It's going to be a land, verses 2 and 3 of chapter 22. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life that bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now that word serve has the same connotation about what we're talking about, and that is worship. Worship. We're going to worship him at a time where there is no curse and where there's a tree that is built for the healing of our nations. The healing. We cannot deny that the sad and terrible things that we experience here have a altering effect on our minds. They've often studied what trauma can do to people in their minds and what that can do over long periods of time. They even study what that does from generation to generation, how it affects them. When bad things happen, it deeply affects people. When we get to heaven, we'll see true healing. If I were to lose my thumb, it would heal, but the thumb would never return. You following me? I would have to deal with that. When we grieve, the spot heals, but the missing will always be noticeable. We'll always feel it. We'll always know it. It'll always be a thing the rest of our lives. We'll always feel self-conscious of it. In heaven, we see real healing. Not body parts, but here. Here. Will we become every bit the person and spirit that we would have been had there been no sin nature whatsoever. Sin taints us. Opposition, trauma, the things we experience here on earth, it changes us. In this new place, we'll not be who we are now. We will be the person we could have been had none of this sin happened. I want you to think about that for a second. For those of you that struggle with anger, for those of you that struggle with anxiety, for those of you that struggle with a certain mindset, we could plot all day on what gave that to you. In heaven, it won't be there. It won't be there. And I know many of us look to that day. What would I be like with an even keel? What would I be like if I wasn't so explosive? What would I be like if I wasn't so worried or scared? What would I be like if this memory didn't plague me? What would I be like? You're going to meet that person. You're going to be that person where true healing takes place. Why? No sin, no curse, and everything's there. Just to be in the presence of the Lord. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? I used to have that with, I got to be careful telling stories about my kids. I used to have that with Melody. As long as Daddy was there, what could go wrong? Right? She'd get in trouble with Mommy. She'd come to Daddy. What could be wrong? Right? Partially it was because whenever she was in timeout, she'd have to serve timeout with me. And I might have made it a lot more fun than it was supposed to be for timeout. But now, anything goes wrong and it's Daddy's fault. We've jumped to the teenage years, and I miss it. Oh, I miss it. Back when I used to be the solution. You know what? God is our solution. He is who we can run to now, and he will be the reason and the cause as to why life gets so much better when all things are made new. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. And in my mind, I think of this river of life that springs from the throne and us kind of being around it and hearing the trickle of it in our ears as we sing songs to Christ. As we sing songs to the Father, as we rejoice in what we are seeing, in what we are experiencing, and what we no longer have to deal with. We will sing on that beautiful shore. What songs? Will we be like the angels? No, we have songs that we can sing that the angels can sing, but they don't understand. I mean, they get it in theory, but they've never experienced it. A third of them fell. They'll never know redemption. The devil challenged God and was cast out. He'll never know redemption. The angels, it's never been offered to them, and they got to be good. And if they're not good, they're out too. But us, we failed God utterly in the most terrible display one could imagine. We have failed him, and he's offered us redemption. And that's going to affect the way we sing. We'll sing a new song. A song those angels would love to join in. And you know what? Maybe they will. But they won't be able to sing it the way we do. Even the songs we bring up. I'd like to think we'll bring some of these hymns up. All hail the power of Jesus' name. As we sing these songs here, I think we're going to sing songs about heaven while we're in heaven. In the sweet by and by, as we look around and we see the sweet by and by. It's going to be a land of healing and a land of beautiful fellowship. It says, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by. Just us there before his throne, worshiping and praising. Jesus says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, many great places. We'll be able to go and we'll go into the homes that have been prepared for us, but I don't think we're going to use them much. I think there's going to be so many other things outside of the house to do. It'll be like the 80s again. We'll have houses, no one will know where we are. I don't think you'll be able to find us by our bikes. You just got to go to where the Lord is. Everybody's outside. You just drop by in the middle of the afternoon. Nobody's home. Nowadays, it's weird. You go to that person's house, they're there. If people go to visit each other anymore at all. People used to visit each other all the time, didn't they? And we finally started leaving each other alone. No more having to make sure you got a cake on hand or something. Just left each other alone. But it'll be a land of fellowship. And not awkward fellowship. Not, okay, I got to find something to say. There'll be no people who are introverted or extroverted. Just good, healthy communication. Right? Because I'm on the other side. I'm loud. Sometimes I talk too much. Then other people I know talk very little. And that's okay here on earth. But the things that make us too loud and the things that make us too soft, those things will be gone. And we'll speak in comfort. No one overthinking, no one oversharing, no one overdoing. Just being in each other's presence and being in the presence of the Lord. To walk a street made of gold. To walk through the New Jerusalem and see all the beautiful sights that there are. To walk on the earth that God creates and see the sheer beauty of it, untainted by sin. Untainted by fire, corrosion, or disease. We look forward to a beautiful place. And in looking forward to it, it is important for us that we thank God for it, we praise God for it, and yes, that we take comfort in it. We take comfort. Because if whatever it is that threatens us today, we need not worry as those without hope. We know that if we were to die today, if you are repentant of your sins and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know today that if you were to die, that's where you wake up in heaven with him. And there will come a time when he says, all right, I've created a new thing. Come. And he brings us into the new. and we'll walk and we'll talk and we'll enjoy. There is no fear in death for us. So we rejoice in what is to come. We are glad in what is being built for us. Oh, but my friends, never lose hope because of what you see here on earth. Take thought and joy. Heaven, one of the wonderful focuses of our worship. Not that we worship heaven itself, but a God who would fix what is wrong here on earth through salvation and give us a new one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, to create one world, it almost seems like science fiction. Lord, to be able to create people, what a miracle. But Father, to watch us fall and to give us your blood for redemption. And Lord, not just that, but the Father, you would prepare this new heaven and this new earth for us, that we would dwell there with you, that you would want to have our time. Lord, we fall down and we worship your mighty name. You do miracle upon miracle, blessing upon blessing, things our imaginations can't even understand and our intellect cannot completely comprehend or even fit. Oh Lord, help us to take hope in you. And help us, Lord, as we work and serve here on this earth, help us, Lord, to look forward and praise you for what's to come. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.